yards against the 49ers again for Cooper Kupp. This one is juggled, picked. There goes Hufanga. Hufanga, touchdown, San Francisco, pick six.
And the 49ers create a four-way tie atop the AFC West or at the bottom of the NFC West, whatever the case may be. They're all 2-2. Seahawks 2-2, Rams are 2-2. 49ers are 2-2, Cardinals are 2-2, so it's anybody's division. Niners win last night at home over the Rams 24-9. That pick six, as you heard, Jimmy Garoppolo threw for 239 and a touchdown to Deebo Samuel. And there you go, four-way tie. It's like the Big Ten Western Division standings with six-way tie, including Nebraska and Wisconsin, only a game out. So week four of the NFL season is in the books. And we will reevaluate this NFL season coming up in just a moment as we are basically a quarter way through the season. Normally we could say a quarter way through the season, but they added the 17th game. So technically we were, what, 23.186% or whatever the heck that is. All right, local sports with Dusty.
Yes, a lot of volleyball coming up today, but there were a couple teams that were in action in the area in volleyball last night as Smith Center hosted a triangular against a couple Nebraska teams and picked up two sweeps. They beat a very good Bruning Davenport Shickley Nebraska team, 25-19 and 25-22, and then won over Silver Lake Nebraska, 25-10 and 25-9. The Lady Red now 28-2 on the season with those two wins on Monday night. Lakeside was hosting Stockton in a best of five. Things got started real well for Lakeside. They won the first two sets, 25-17 and 25-17, but Stockton came back to win the rest of the sets and take it in five, 25-20, 25-15, 15-8 Stockton, the final three sets to get that victory over Lakeside in Downs last night. A schedule for today in high school volleyball. Big matches in Ellsworth tonight for the Beloit Lady Trojans and Ellsworth Lady Bearcats. Ellsworth is 6-0 in the NCAA. Beloit is 5-1. So it's going to go a long way there in helping determine a league championship most likely. So you can check those out at ncksports.com. If you want to watch those on the online video stream on the Beloit Trojan channel here tonight. First match for the girls varsity starting at 5 o'clock. JV in between, and varsity will finish things up tonight there at Ellsworth. Also, Lakeside hosting a triangular tonight in the Northern Plains League with Chase and Pike Valley. Lincoln triangular with St. John's Tipton and Wilson also competing there. Sylvan Lucas is welcoming in Lincoln and, Southern Cloud and they're at the Sylvan Lucas triangular tonight. Natoma triangular, Rock Hills, and Tescott. And the Hill City triangular is where Osborne will be competing, and Stockton is also part of that. Concordia is at Wamego tonight in NCKL action. And then in cross country today, the Ellsworth Invitational starting at 3:30 this afternoon with Beloit, Concordia, Lincoln, and Sylvan Lucas competing there. So check that out. It's all, if you want to see the schedules and everything you need to know about the local teams, ncksports.com.
Yeah, it's a big big league matchup in the North Central Tier Association. Ellsworth actually leads the league standings at 6-0. Beloit's 5-1, so two varsity matches and JV sandwich in between. And as Dusty mentioned, all those live video stream at ncksports.com. Via the Beloit Trojan channel tonight at just a little ahead of 5 o'clock. We'll have those streams from Ellsworth. Let's see. Locker room chats tomorrow and Wednesday night. And, of course, high school football coming up on Friday. So the Royals win last night or yesterday against Cleveland.
Waters hits it deep to left field. It is gone for a 10th inning, 3-run home run. And his third home run of this series.
That was the game winner. Royals win 5-2 in 10 innings. Mike Matheny on the home run by Waters.
You know, we saw some of the power from the left side, and now we've seen it a couple times from the right. The guys have a lot of fun with him, and he enjoys the game. He just loves the competition, you know. But, big spot to come through. We talk about big hit. Three-run homers are pretty good. We like those.
Yeah, those are nice. Not enough of them, that's for sure, this year. Royals win the ball game. Taylor Clark gets the save. The Royals bullpen, four scoreless innings. Zach Greinke, in his final inning as possibly a Royals pitcher, his final pitch, he gets a strikeout on a 64-mile-an-hour curveball. And right before that, the Royals give up the lead on an error by Bobby Witt Jr., and so that's only appropriate that Zach Greinke gets a no decision. Yeah, he's six innings. Greinke is once again outstanding. Greinke gives up one earned run in six innings. He's 38. He doesn't even strike out guys, but he still has them fooled with the off-speed stuff. But he exited with a no decision because of the Bobby Witt Jr. error in the sixth that tied the game. Bullpen four scoreless. Waters a home run. Royals win. Greinke just finished his 18th Major League Baseball season with an ERA of 3.68, which is really good in this day and age. 26 starts, 137 innings. And last night, there was a ball that was hit 102 miles an hour, line drive right at his sternum, and he still had the instincts to get the glove up. Remember, Greinke's won gold gloves as a pitcher before. He's an outstanding athlete. He would have really loved to have been a hitter all the time. He always enjoyed hitting. And so the question is, will Zach Greinke come back next year? Greinke said after the game, "I've enjoyed this season a lot. Love the guys here. We miss Dayton. Not to make a big deal about that, but there's a lot of good things here. I wouldn't say there's over-the-top amount of talent, but there's a lot of talented players here. A lot of position players and pitchers. They're great with my kids. They treat the family good. We like the city. A lot of good things in Kansas City. I had fun for the most part this year. Didn't win a ton of games, but personally, it was an enjoyable season." And that sounds so like Zach. Well, we have talent, but it's not over-the-top talent, so I don't want to go crazy here. And I had a good time, but we didn't really win a lot of games. That sounds like Zach Greinke.
Mm-hmm.
And the pitchers that he's worked with, the younger guys, they said they were first intimidated by him early in the year and spring training. And then they said he's really helped them out a lot. Jonathan Heasley had a good story. Greinke saw him throw a slider in spring training. He said, "You might just wait till next offseason to work on that." And then
it is great.
And then early in the season, Greinke came up to Heasley later and he said, "You know, actually, it's not as bad as I thought. Maybe we should work on that."
Because a pitching coach is never going to say that.
They're no.
"Keep working on it. Keep working on it, kid. Keep working on it."
I love that Zach Greinke be the pitching coach.
"Hey, why don't you just put that one in the shed for now?"
In spring training, he's already saying, "Dude, just put it away. It's that bad." And then later, "Hey, no, it's not as bad as I thought." Well, you're not saying it's great. You're just saying it's not as bad as you
right.
thought. I think Greinke'd be awesome as a pitching coach for this team. I really do. I think it'd be terrific. I don't know if it lasts for a long period of time. It might get a little old maybe and grind on you a little bit, but I think it'd be terrific. The Royals do win. They're 65-95. Two more games against the Guardians to wrap up the season. They play at 5:10 tonight. Daniel Lynch will start for the Royals. The other big thing that happened last night in the Royals game is that Bobby Witt Jr. stole his 30th base. And only... Here's the last five players, 22 or younger, with 20 home runs and 30 stolen bases in a season. Pretty decent names. Barry Bonds, Alex Rodriguez, Mike Trout did it twice, and Ronald Acuna, and now Bobby Witt Jr. Pretty important stuff there coming from a guy that could have maybe been Rookie of the Year, but Julio Rodriguez of the Mariners will probably get that.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Witt Jr. hit .254 right now. Not the greatest batting average, but batting average can be misleading. He's only walked 30 times, so he's got to learn to strike zone. He needs to walk more often, be a little more selective at the plate more than likely. But remember, he's 21, 22. He's going to learn that. 20 home runs, 80 RBIs this year in 148 games, 82 runs scored, 30 stolen bases. 31 doubles, 6 triples. So of his 148 hits, 57 are extra base hits. So that's pop, that's power, that should only get better. And defensively, he's still, I think, better suited to be a third baseman than a shortstop. He's had more struggles at short. And I don't know what the Royals are going to do going forward, if they're going to make him the everyday third baseman, somehow think Mondesi's going to get healthy again. I don't know if the Lopez is going to be the shortstop. I like Massey at second. Massey's done a pretty good job at mm-hmm. second. So maybe Lopez is your shortstop. Your third baseman is Bobby Witt Jr. I do not know, but Bobby Witt Jr. has had a very solid rookie campaign. I wouldn't say it was as good as maybe some people thought, but it's still very, very good. Unfortunately, you're on a team that's lost 95 games, so people overlooked that a little bit. And then Drew Waters. Drew Waters hit his third home run of this series. He was the one that was traded from the Braves for the draft pick, and Drew Waters does look like a significant part of the future for the Royals, and that's why I still go back to why didn't they trade Michael A. Taylor, but maybe they didn't get enough for him. Drew Waters, since the trade, hitting .261, but lately he's hitting .288. 5 home runs, 18 RBIs, and 11 of his last 17 hits are extra base hits. He's only 185 pounds, but he's got pop. And that's nice to know. Instead of usually the Royals, "Oh, we got a guy who can steal some bases and he gets some singles and he can roam the outfield." Like, no, we want a guy with some pop. Now, Michael Taylor's got some pop. Drew Waters obviously has some pop. And so that trade, as of now, looks okay. Of course, you can't judge it till 5 years from now because the guy the Braves drafted, a pitcher, what's he going to turn into? Mm-hmm. If he's a Cy Young Award winner 3 years from now and Drew Waters is just an average fourth outfielder, and it wasn't that great of a trade. But right now, it looks like he's figured some things out because he had struggled down at AAA with Atlanta, and they changed the scenery, and he's done pretty well with the Royals. So a couple positive things, Bobby Witt Jr. and Drew Waters.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it when they made the trade.
I did, too.
So now you just kind of have to, like you said, you got to wait until it all plays out, see what the Braves are going to do on their end of it. But, yeah, I mean, he's a young kid, and he's on. It seems like he's going in the right direction right now. So there's nothing that I don't like about it at this point anyway.
Absolutely. Hey, coming up, my catch-up story. That's coming up in just a little bit, my catch-up story. Slower day for the ticket, so I can squeeze that story in here today. Is it just me, or is it every day Albert Pujols hits a home run?
Albert hits it down the left field. He's passed Babe Ruth, second all-time in history, and runs batted in. A historic blast, number 703.
I didn't think he'd get the 700. Now he's at 703. Listen, I'm not putting anything past the guy. There's two games left. I think he can hit 11 home runs in two games and get the Babe Ruth. The guy's on fire. It's insane. And once again, that home run, guess what? That one gave them the lead. Now, they lost the game. No big deal. They've clinched and they know where they're going to be in the playoffs. But it once again gave them the lead. Every home run like ties it or gives them the lead. And the Cardinals, of course, won their division. And it looks like they're going to play the Phillies in the playoffs.
The 3-2 pitch. Swing and a fly ball. Shallow center field. Coming on is Marsh. Still coming on. Makes the catch. The ball game is over. The drought is over after 11 seasons. The Philadelphia Phillies are going back to the postseason. They'll represent the National League as a wild card representative. And they celebrate behind the mound, and this is a long time coming.
So this is interesting to me, and this is we had positive things to say about the Royals, but now here comes some negative. I'm sorry about this. But it's hard to believe, and some people nationally go, well, the Royals made a mistake by firing Dayton Moore. Let me give you more evidence why they needed to move on from Dayton Moore. So the Mariners had a 20-year drought. They're now going to the playoffs. The Phillies hadn't been in the playoffs since 2011. So that's an 11-year drought. So now they're in the playoffs. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. So here's an updated look at the longest active playoff droughts in Major League Baseball, and it may surprise you. The Angels now have the longest drought when it comes to the playoffs, along with the Tigers, each with 8. The Pirates and Royals are second on the list with 7. Then the Orioles and the Rangers are 6. So, well, the Royals won a World Series, and they went to two World Series, and I don't understand why Dayton's being... I don't know why they're firing the guy. First of all, we're not even close to getting back to the playoffs. Secondly, the Royals now have the 4th longest playoff drought and technically tied for 2nd.
That's wild to me.
Yeah, I know.
The longest now is only 8.
Yeah. Which is great for baseball, right, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah. It's like all the teams, it's like how, like that's wild.
And the Angels have Trout and Ohtani. I mean, yeah,
the Angels should not be at the top of that list.
No.
Not at all.
And you got 2 in your own division. You got the Royals and the Tigers. Mm-hmm. You know, that's 2 in the same division. Everybody else is spread out. You know, Baltimore was fairly close this year. Texas, you know, they had those World Series runs. Really haven't done a lot since then. Pirates got a 1-game wild card, and who was it? They had to face some dominant pitcher. Who was it?
Jake Arrieta.
That's right. Yeah. And that stunk for them. They finally made it, and it was a 1-game. They had 2. I think it was back-to-back years.
Back-to-back, yep.
1-game playoffs and lost both, whereas the Royals won theirs back in 14. And then the Angels just don't make sense. There's just no other way to explain that. So there you go. I mean, you wonder why the Royals are moving on from Dayton Moore in that regime. This is because they ain't getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if everybody else can retool within, well, basically what they're saying is every 7-8 years you should be in the playoffs. That's what it's saying. Now, granted, the Phillies went 11, Mariners went 20, but now that's where we're at. It was interesting. I didn't expect to see that either.
No, and I mean, I guess, you know, technically it's we feel that way because the Mariners broke theirs, right?
Sure,
like,
sure.
The Phillies is 11 is where you would expect it maybe to be, right?
And I didn't think the Phillies had been that long because I remember them in the World Series. It doesn't seem like it was that long ago, but that was 11 years ago. So there you have it. Now, the Royals still got to go 22 years to match their last streak of not making the playoffs, so there's at least that.
If you want yes.
To so while Albert Pujols is hitting a whole bunch of home runs, the guy that they keep showing, hoping he hits home runs, doesn't. So maybe they should keep it on a split screen of Pujols all the time instead of Judge. Judge stayed tied with Maris at 61, went 1-for-4, and the Yankees win over the Rangers 3-1 yesterday. He has three more games to break the AL record. First chance this afternoon. His first pitch to the Yankees Rangers at 1:05. Is today the doubleheader? I think it is.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, yep. Doubleheader. So Judge is going to have a chance. He's batting leadoff, or has been, so he can get more extra at-bats and so forth and so on. So we'll see if he gets it. I had a friend of mine put on Twitter, he goes, for the love of God, just hit 62. I'm tired of this interrupting whatever game I'm watching for a split screen. Just hit it and be done with it so that you can be the sixth best home run season in Major League Baseball history. But the best in the American League. I thought that was kind of funny. 2 K-State players have earned Player of the Week honors.
Yes, Adrian Martinez, newcomer of the week. Khalid Duke is the defensive player of the week. Duke had 8 tackles and a career-high 3 sacks there on Saturday in K-State's win over Texas Tech. And Adrian Martinez had a career-high 171 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns rushing and over 100 passing yards and a touchdown there. So, yeah, those are your honors for K-State. Big12Sports.com. You can read a lot more about it.
Okay. I got to share the ketchup story, and then we'll get to the NFL stuff, because Jason wants to know. I teased it earlier. He wants to know. So we went to our North Central Kansas Down Syndrome Buddy Walk in Clyde, and we've done that ever since our son has been born. He's 13 now, so we've been to 12, because the very first one, clearly, we probably weren't at. and so there's some things to snack on there or whatever, but my oldest said he was kind of thirsty. And he mentioned something about, well, you can get a dollar drink at McDonald's or something. Well, they don't do that anymore, or at least they don't in Concordia. So that was a little bit of a surprise. So we go, well, you know what? We just get a few hamburgers or whatever and just tide ourselves over, and we'll just pop in there real quick. So we go in, we order, and we sit down. And there's this teenager, young lady, that waited on us, and she's very talkative, which is fine, not a big deal. She was kind of comical and fun to listen to at times, although she kept talking to us quite a bit while we're eating, which was kind of interesting. And I was like, maybe she should probably be working or so forth and so on. But she was very interesting to talk to. And she was very nice. She brought napkins and straws, and she made sure we had everything. It was almost like she was waiting on our table. And usually you don't have that at fast food restaurants, you know? So anyway, we have our Buddy Walk shirts on. We have our Buddy Walk shirts on. And so we all have the same color shirts on. And we have Live, Love, Lajes on the back. She's talking, and we're sitting there, and she gave us a whole bunch of ketchup packets. It's like a whole bunch of ketchup packets. So we have plenty of ketchup for the fries or nuggets or whatever that we had, hamburgers, cheeseburgers. And so we're sitting there, and we're talking, and we're kind of looking at each other and going, okay, she's still kind of, you know, talking, and, you know, maybe, I don't know, does she have something to go do? I mean, we're not annoyed, but we're kind of like, you know, okay, she's, you know, this is kind of not usual, but that's okay. And we listened to her, we talked with her, we chatted with her, we joked with her a little bit, and then there was kind of a pause, and I looked down to, you know, take a bite of my cheeseburger, and all of a sudden I got hit by a ton of ketchup, and I look across, and my youngest got hit by ketchup on his shirt. My wife thought she had some in her hair perhaps, and it's like, you know, your first reaction, well, I was very calm, cool, and collected. I just turned, and but in my mind, here's what I was thinking: what the bleep just happened? And I turned, and she goes, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. She was fidgeting with a ketchup packet for some reason in her hands. And when she's talking, I don't know if she was nervous or what, but she squeezed it hard enough that it exploded all over me. And she right away was like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, It's okay. Whatever. It's fine. At least it didn't get into my shake. Then I would have been really mad, because you mess up with my ice cream, you're in trouble. And we were just like, what in the dear Lord happened? And so a few minutes later, you know, she goes, oh, thank you for not, you know, being so mad about it. I'm so sorry, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's fine. Things happen. She backed away, and then she had ketchup packets in her pocket. And she goes, I think I'll just play with these inside the pocket from now on. I'm like, yeah, that's probably a good idea. Probably a great idea. Then she says, my oldest goes, man, that'd been fun to have got on camera. And this teenager girl working at McDonald's, she says, well, actually, there's a camera here, camera here, camera here, camera here. So that's on camera. And I'm like, I would really like to see how my body reacted when I did get hit by ketchup, because I don't really remember exactly how it was. Because I'm pretty sure I just kept my head down, acted like nothing happened, although I knew something happened. And it was just ketchup flew everywhere. And it's amazing how far a little packet of ketchup can be as a projectile, how far it can go, and how much came out of it is amazing. It was like half a ketchup bottle, I swear. So anyway, we had extra ketchup packets there. Later on, she goes, "So are you going to use those?" And like, "No, we're done." I carefully handed those packets to her, like, "Please don't squeeze them." And so that was our experience at McDonald's in Concordia. She's a very nice young lady and very talkative and very conversationalist. But I was like, "Wow, what are the odds that you get nailed by a squeezed out ketchup packet by an employee?" That happened to me, and mainly I was the one that caught the fire of it. And you know, she is lucky that it was us, because if it was the wrong person, that could have been a really bad thing for her. So I was glad it was us and not some fidgety person that was going to freak out over something just to make a big drama out of it. Now, I did tell her, I said, if this was my favorite t-shirt when it was white, I might not have handled this quite as well. So it worked out well. I worked at a restaurant in college, a couple of them. I waited tables, I bartended a little bit, and I remember one of our coworkers went to put the ketchup bottle. We refilled the ketchup bottles and put them in. It was a sit-down restaurant. It's called the Lazy Hound. It's no longer there in Pittsburgh. It's changed hands. And I remember that there were people sitting on both sides of the booth, and then there was an empty booth. And so she went to put the ketchup down, and usually everything's closed, the lid or whatever it was closed. So she put it down, and she just kind of, she didn't like slam it hard, but she set it down, just kind of hurry. She put it down. It squirted, and it landed all over the back of a guy in his shirt in the booth next to us, and he was not happy, as
probably
you can imagine.
Not, yeah.
And it was an innocent mistake by our coworker. I actually saw it happen, and so we were able to handle it. We discounted the guy his food or whatever it was, and that was a freak type of ketchup accident. So years later, I'm the victim after being a bystander. So there you go. You never know when you'll be struck by ketchup. Never know. Any food dining experience where something's been spilled on you accidentally?
I can't recall anything that was somebody else's fault. You know, I've probably gotten a beer like at a game or something like that spilled on me.
Uh-huh.
Or somebody next to me did it to somebody in front of us or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't recall anything like that that wasn't my fault, right? Like, that I didn't just spill ketchup all over myself or something like
that. What about you, Jason? Anything happen to you at a restaurant or somewhere?
Not to me, but at McCook Community College, our group of friends, we had two of them that weren't necessarily friends. And they, I don't know, but they still hung out with us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know, those two were warring back and forth about something. And they're arguing at the table. And this Kevin goes to, he forgot he had a glass of milk on his tray.
Mm-hmm.
And this Greg said something, and Kevin just goes, just kind of slams the tray down, and this milk just splashed all over Greg, and it was just, you know, my hair is not quite the right, but like Greg has this real tight, fine hair, and it was just funny because the milk just kept, and he just sat there,
and the
milk just kept falling down, and we were just waiting for him to say something, and he just gets up and leaves. And so, of course, us being the nice guys we are, you know, are you okay? No, it's just like, milkhead.
That would be funny. I can picture that, actually. I've done it to myself. I have shaker bottles a lot of times, so I mix like some flavored water or whatever, and then you put the cap back on, you got to squeeze it and push it down, and usually I do that, but then one time I thought I was going to get a drink real quick, so I went ahead and I just grabbed it and I started to shake it, and the lid was open. I'm like, "Oh, what am I doing?" I'm like, all my drink was all over the table. Like, what a moron! Did I? I thought I shut the lid. No, nobody to blame but yourself on that one, Wade. So that's happened as well before.
Every kid's had the Capri Sun accidents.
Oh, yeah.
You squeeze them when you're not supposed to, and it's all over the place. Yeah.
I will say, when I waited tables, there were a few times I wanted to purposely spill stuff on people that were rude. Oh, it went through my mind. You know how the TV shows are, where you have a dream scenario, and you're like, wait a minute, did that really happen? And then they show it was a dream in your mind. Yeah, that was me. I was like, okay, you're a jerk face. really like to just go ahead and dump your food. Oh, hey, you got a piece of cake. Oh, what do you know? I accidentally stumbled and it landed in your lap. My bad. But didn't do that, but sometimes it crossed my mind.
There was one. I guess I was at a restaurant, and again, a very talkative waitress. This was a sit-down place. And she brought the wrong drink, but well, it's no big deal. But then she brought a refill, and she spilled it over the table and into my lap, and she just goes, "You'll forgive me."
You're like, really?
Okay. She just laughed and goes, "Huh, you'll forgive me."
You're like, okay.
A good start would be some napkins.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's all I said. It was like, all right, a good start to that would be some napkins. Because she just stood there. And I didn't want to get super mad. It was an accident. But it's like, okay, now the next step would be to bring some napkins.
The odds of me forgiving you go up if you actually help me clean up your mess.
Right.
Yeah. Well, let me give you one more thing I forgot that was pretty funny as well with this waitress at McDonald's. You guys are going to love this. So anyway, they gave us a number, you know, some of these places have a number, so then they'll bring it out to you. So they have a big placard or whatever, the number's on the backside of each of them, and so we have it sitting on our table. So she's talkative at first and waiting on our food, and then she actually goes up and she brings it to us, which was very nice. Like I said, she waited on us like it was a regular sit-down restaurant, and she didn't have to do that. So it was very nice. And so she's standing there, still talking with us, so forth and so on. Then she goes to do something, comes back, and it happens to be right next to me. And the number's in the middle of the table. And she just comes up out of the blue, and she goes, "Can I have your number?" And everybody at the table starts laughing. My youngest, my wife, like they think, like, you know, you take it almost like she's trying to say she's asking for my number. She wasn't. She was asking for the placard number, but she just came up and said, "Can I have your number?" I'm like, well, that's kind of forward, isn't it? My wife's sitting right here. Wow, you talk about gutsy. Oh, man. Here's an idea. Don't spray me with ketchup, and we have a better chance of this working out. So, but it was funny. And after about 3 seconds, that's not. I'm like, don't worry. I didn't have my mind in the gutter like these people. I knew what you meant. I handed her the number right away, but I knew exactly where my family was going with that. So, good times at the fast food restaurant. All right, we'll end with this. The NFL power rankings are out, if you care about that. NFL.com has these power rankings. I don't worry about Pete Prisco's power rankings. Philadelphia number one, which to me should be. They're the only undefeated team left. They've looked pretty good. They've had games where they've looked really good on defense. Other games great on offense. Jalen Hurts has played very well, although last game not so much. They still won. The number two ranked team is the Bills. More on that in a moment. Chiefs are ranked third. The Packers fourth. The Niners are ranked fifth. Dusty said a week ago that he thought he said something about the Colts being as good or better than the Niners. The Bengals sixth, the Ravens seventh, the Bucks eighth, the Vikings are nine, and the Dolphins are 10. Anything you disagree with? What jumps out to you with those rankings? Not that it matters, it doesn't, but it does give you a bit of an idea if you're trying to figure out who are the best teams through the quarter mark of the NFL season. They got Eagles one. I don't think anybody's going to argue with that one. Bills two, Chiefs three, Packers four, and then the Niners, who are 2-2 at five. Bengals six, they're 2-2. Ravens 2-2 at seven. Buccaneers 2-2 8. The Vikings are 3-1. They're at nine. The Dolphins are 3-1, and they're at 10.
They've got to be like factoring in that Tua is not going to be playing here for a few
probably
weeks.
So
because
probably
otherwise so. The Dolphins at 10 makes no sense.
I agree with you.
Vikings at 9 doesn't make sense to me if they're putting the 49ers at 5.
I agreed.
I mean, listen, I'm sure they're obviously doing this after last night's game. The 49ers looked better last night.
Sure.
There's no question about that.
They lost
they
to the Broncos.
The Broncos. Exactly. They
10.
Did lose to the Broncos, though.
They did.
Yeah. Put that in.
They lost to the Bears as well, who aren't very good.
Right. Yeah. The 49ers are, I mean, yeah, they, again, looked better last night, but they've got a couple bad losses that don't put them at 5.
I agree with you.
There's a lot wrong with that, but.
Well, let's just pick it apart a little bit here. Let's go to. This is for me. The Bills are two and the Chiefs are three. The Bills, their loss was the Dolphins, who are a good team. And the Ravens are a good team who they should have lost to. Mm-hmm. So they have not played that well after starting 2-0. The Titans aren't as good as I think people thought they were going to be. And the Bills blew them out. And they blew out the Rams. So, and the Rams aren't as good as people thought either. Mm-hmm. So I could argue the Bills should be behind the Chiefs. I could. The Chiefs have the worst loss, though. Mm-hmm. The Colts, because they're not that good. But the Chiefs have maybe, I mean, they have as good of a win as the Bills do. Going to Tampa and winning like they did against the number one defense, according to most, technically there's a third-ranked defense. I could argue the Chiefs could be ahead of the Bills. I'm not saying they have to be. Yeah, I don't lose any sleep over it. You okay with the Bills at two?
If
they're not playing like
here's
the
another
best
here's
team
another
the
thing
league.
That I add to this is if you have the Bills at two again, how do you have the Dolphins at 10?
I agree.
So that's another issue that I have within the issue with the Dolphins is you've got the Bills at two and they just lost to the Dolphins.
And you have the Bengals at six and the Dolphins lost to the Bengals for the only loss. The Dolphins beat the Bills head to head. And Tua didn't play for three quarters of the game against the Bengals.
Yeah, exactly.
They had Teddy Bridgewater. So why are the Dolphins at 10? Packers are at 4. And here's why I want to go through these power rankings. I've never done this before on the show ever. And I don't like them, and I think they're a waste of time for the most part. But the reason I'm going through this is to prove a point. Most people listen to the show know that when I do things, I try to prove a point one way or the other, whether you agree with it or not. Or to wake people up. So no argument. Eagles are 4-0. They're number one. Bills are 3-1. Number two. You could argue the Chiefs could be ahead of the Bills, but you could live with the Bills staying at two. You could argue the Dolphins maybe should be ahead of the Chiefs or somewhere near the Chiefs, right? You could argue that. Chiefs are 3. They move up from 5 to 3. The Packers are 4. The Packers looked horrible in week one. They barely beat a Patriots team with a third-string quarterback at home, and they barely beat a Buccaneer team and didn't score in the second half. That didn't have three of their best receivers, but they're 4. The 49ers are 5. We've already pointed out that that just seems a little crazy. The Bengals are 6. Now, that seems high to me. They started 0-2. They beat a good Dolphins team. All right, I get that. They lost on the final play against the Cowboys in week one. Or week two, it was. Week one, if they make an extra point, if there's not a high hold from a backup snapper, they win that game. They could easily be 4-0 is what I'm trying to tell you here. They are two plays away from being 4-0. Of course, the Chiefs are very close to being 4-0 as well. So could a lot of teams say this. The Browns are close to being undefeated. They've had close games. Obviously, there's another team here that could have, the Bills are close to being 4-0 as well. So the Bengals are at 6. 7, the Ravens. The Ravens should be 4-0. The Ravens blew a 21-point lead against the Dolphins, blew a 17-3 lead against the Bills. So the Ravens should be 4-0. I have no problem with them being 7 at 2-2. The Buccaneers are at 8 at 2-2. They've lost to two of the top five teams, according to the power rankings. They've lost to the number 3 Chiefs and number 4 Packers. So I get that the Bucs are number 8. I get it. Number 9, the Vikings. I think the Vikings are a very good team, but they're a double doink away from possibly going to overtime and losing and being 2-2.
Who'd they lose to?
The Vikings. They lost to the... They beat the Packers. They beat the Lions. Oh, goodness gracious. I know who it was because it was a Sunday night or Monday night football game. They lost in primetime. Who'd the Vikings lose to? Oh, my goodness. I watched the game for crying out loud.
I just did an update on my
Eagles.
Phone.
It was the Eagles. Yeah, it was the Eagles.
So the Vikings should definitely be ahead of the Packers.
Yeah, I would agree with you as well.
They rolled the Packers in week one.
They did.
They have the same record.
And the Packers have not been impressive in their last few wins.
No.
That's all brand name.
Yeah, I mean, if you lost to the only unbeaten team and you're 3-1 and you dominated a team that's ahead of you five spots, that makes zero sense.
Well, and like the Dolphins at 10 and the Bills at 2, and the Dolphins beat the Bills head to head with the same record.
Like you could say the Vikings could be a doink away from whatever being 2-2, but they're not, right? They won the game.
The Packers,
all these teams, like you said, could be this or this,
right?
But they're not this.
Yeah, well, this is going.
This is what their record.
This is going towards my point, everyone. Vikings are 3-1. Dolphins are 3-1, ranked 10th. They went down 7 spots because they lost to a Bengals team. They rank in the top 6. The Rams are down 5 spots to number 11. Tennessee's at 12. Cowboys at 13. I'd put the Cowboys ahead of the Titans and the Rams. I mean, I would. They're 3-1, but their schedule hasn't been super tough since the Buccaneer game. Chargers are 2-2 at 14. Broncos are just behind the Chargers. Raiders just beat the Broncos. Raiders are behind the Broncos because the Raiders just had their first win. But the Raiders could easily be 3-1. Cardinals could very well be 0-4. They're 2-2. Saints are 1-3. They could easily be 3-1. I mean, double doink away from going to overtime in London. The Giants are 3-1 and they're ranked 19th.
Yeah, they have no respect right now.
No, and granted, their wins aren't against the greatest teams.
No.
Jaguars are 20th, 2-2. The Browns are 21st at 2-2. The Falcons are 22. They're 2-2. Seahawks 2-2, 23. Lions are 1-3, 24. Patriots ranked 25th. The Jets ranked 26th. Steelers all the way down 27th. And the Colts are at 28th. Commanders at 29. Bears are at 30, Carolina 31, and the worst team they've got here is the Texans, who are 0-3-1, and I'd argue the Texans are better than a couple of those teams, but don't have the win. They are winless, so I can see why they put them at the bottom. Here is the point of my story, and I think you both know where I'm going with this, and if you're a very astute football fan, you understand where I'm going with this. There's not a big difference. In fact, I could argue there's really not much of a difference at all between the number two team, according to these rankings, and the number 10 team, which beat them. Dolphins beat the Bills. The number nine team, who has a just as good a record, beat the number four team. The number 28 team beat the number three team, the Colts over the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
The Jaguars, if they didn't have five turnovers, were right there and still had a chance to tie the game despite five turnovers against the undefeated team. That's the number one team in the league, and that's the Eagles. The Ravens are this close to 4-0. The Bengals are this close to 4-0. The Chiefs are this close to 4-0. I mean, we could go on and on about these teams, about how they could easily be 4-0, 3-1. Instead, they're 1-3. The Raiders could easily be 3-1. They're 1-3. The Broncos, very easily, they should be 1-3. And, well, they could easily, they should be 0-4. They played horrible against the Texans and on horrible clock management. The Broncos are 2-2. They should be 4. They should be 0-4. And they're ranked 16th. They're ranked too high, in my opinion. And they just lost Javonte Williams, their best running back. He's out for the season, torn ACL. They signed Latavius Murray off the Saints practice squad, so that's probably a good pickup for the Broncos. So what I'm trying to show you here is that there's not much difference between the number four team and the number 14 team. There's not a lot of difference between the number two team and the number 10 team right now through 4 weeks of the season. And you've got teams, the Bears are ranked 30th, or 28th, whatever it was, 29th. They beat the Niners, who they have ranked 5th. The Chiefs are 3rd, and they lost to the Colts, who are in the bottom 5 or 6 teams of this league. The Patriots are 25th, and almost beat the Packers and Lambeau, with a third-string quarterback you never heard of. So the difference between 4 and 25, because that's what it is, Packers are 4, and the Patriots 25, was razor thin, and that was at Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
So the point that I'm trying to make is this is full-blown parity in the National Football League. If you sit here and you tell me that the Chiefs and the Bills are clearly better than everybody else in the AFC, I think you would agree with that after week one. We even mentioned it.
Mm-hmm.
But after 4 weeks, I don't think you can argue that point very well at all. I can argue the Ravens are just as good and blew it against the Bills. I can argue the Bengals are finding themselves, and they easily could be 4-0. I can look through all these power rankings and tell you that there are some teams here that very well could be better than the Chiefs or the Bills, or just as good, or right there. Right there. Okay? Not saying they are better. I'm just saying it's not as big of a difference as you may think. The Bills have not played great the last 2 weeks. The Chiefs had a lay-an-egg moment against the Colts and gave a game away. We mentioned the Packers. The Niners lost to the Broncos in Denver 11-10. Couldn't score. The Bengals lost two games they should have won. Tampa Bay's 2-2. They've been hurt a lot. The Vikings lost to an undefeated team, and they're ranked 9th, and we just said they probably should be ranked higher. So when you go through all of these teams, and then the Cowboys are sitting there at 3-1 with a backup quarterback for all three wins. And everybody's like, oh, that Cowboys are toast. We were all wrong on that one as well. So what I'm trying to tell you is you got to be able to bring it each and every week. The Chiefs figured that out against the Colts. They thought they could get by. They looked ahead to Tampa Bay, apparently. They did not win. When you look at the schedule and you go with the Chiefs and you go, okay, well, we got the Raiders. That's a win on Monday night. I would say not so fast. The Bills, okay, that's going to be a tough one. At the 49ers, a week ago, we're sitting here talking about how they might be just about them and the Colts are close, and now the Niners are a top five team. No, they looked like it last night. But how good are the Rams once again? Then you got Tennessee. You got Jacksonville. You got the Chargers. You beat them already. You got the Rams are not as good. Then the Chiefs go to Cincinnati, to Denver, and to Houston three straight weeks in December, which that's a tough stretch of road games in regards to travel, travel, travel. Should you beat Denver? Yes, but it's a rivalry game. The Bengals, that's payback, obviously. And then at Houston, that would be a game that probably the Chiefs will struggle in because it should be easy. And then they got the Seahawks that look pretty easy right now, although the Seahawks are 2-2. So it's so easy for us at some years to say, well, you know, win, 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 loss, win, win. And there's not too many of those that we get surprised by. This year's different. This year's different. I mean, when the Patriots can go in the Lambeau and nearly win, when the Colts can beat the Chiefs, the Bears can beat the 49ers, and the Jaguars nearly beat the Eagles with despite five turnovers, it tells you that there's not a clear, great team in this league. The Eagles have issues, too. They gave up a ton of points to the Lions in week one. They've been maybe the more consistent team, but are they just, like, clearly the best team in this league? I don't think it's clear they're the best team in the league. They are the best record in the league. That doesn't mean that they're the best team. I think there's a lot of 2-2 teams that are just as good as the Eagles.
I look at what they have in there, and by putting the Vikings at 9, that tells me that they're only putting the Eagles at 1 because they're undefeated.
Like, I agree.
They don't feel
that the Eagles are number 1.
If the Vikings are that, if 5 spots behind a team they blew out, and that's their only losses to the Eagles, then they're not putting a lot of stock in the Philadelphia Eagles, apparently.
Right.
And they're only putting them there because, like I said, they're undefeated, and it's a bad look if they don't.
Right.
Because they're the last undefeated team.
Right.
It almost looks like however this list was made at the beginning, I'm sure there was a, you know, beginning of the season power rankings.
Yes.
They're just not quite ready to start moving teams yet. So they're just keeping teams about where they put them in the preseason. And then, you know, they have some variations there. But I think it's part of it is the league. I think you don't want to overreact yet. We've seen a lot of, whether it's injuries, with like the Jets and the Cowboys, or, you know,
Tua
even
now.
In the offseason.
Tua with the Dolphins.
Yeah, Tua. We've had some quarterback turnover, and we've had some wide receiver with a lot of trades in the offseason with that. So we've had some quarterback wide receiver turnover. So some of that takes time, and some of these teams don't play their guys in the preseason anymore. So now I start to think after the quarter point here, maybe teams will start to separate a little bit.
And that's my next point. And I'm glad that you said that. That would be my next point is how much stock do you put in the first 4 weeks of the season? As long as you didn't bury yourself, which there's not a single team in this NFL that buried itself except Houston maybe. And they're in a really weak division. So I could argue they haven't buried themselves yet at 0-3-1. So there's not a single team that's buried themselves.
No, we went like number
we
4 is
it.
2-2, and,
right?
And you know,
well, the Packers are 3-1.
3-1. Number 5 is 2-2.
Yeah,
Every team in the NFC West is 2-2.
Yeah. Right.
So it's like Houston.
Well, think about this: when you look at these power rankings, number 5, 6, 7, and 8 are all 2-2 in their rankings, and they got 3-1 teams at 9 and 10, which doesn't make full sense to me at all, but. But Tua is ruled out for Sunday's game, by the way. Did you see they fired the independent doctor? They're going to make him to be the scapegoat, aren't they?
Yep.
Kind of like the NBA did with Tim Donaghy as a rogue NBA referee that rigged games, but he did not ref the Kings-Lakers Game 6 of the Western Conference Finals, which many people believe was clearly rigged.
This guy's like, all right, he'll get a nice severance package, and then now he gets his Sundays, well, you know, now he gets his Sundays free. You know, and then he can go back to his normal practice, and he'll be fine.
Yeah. All right, let's end with this. Patrick Mahomes, to feel good if you're a Chiefs fan. Bronco fans like, please stop. I'll stop when Mahomes doesn't play anymore. So Patrick Mahomes on that play to Clyde Edwards-Helaire the other night, that the highlight of the night everybody's talking about, little spin move. And I like Chris Collinsworth. Right on cue, he said it's like he's a dad playing in the backyard with the kids. Yeah. I thought that was a great analogy. Patrick Mahomes on that play where he improvised and got it to Clyde Edwards-Helaire for a 2-yard touchdown. And the other thing that's amazing to me about Mahomes, he always knows where the line of scrimmage is. Like when he did that play initially, I thought, oh, that was close. Did he go across the line? And after I thought that for half a second, I said, it's Mahomes. He never goes across the line. He always knows how far to push it. He's just sometimes he pushes it to the as far as he can. But what I love about Mahomes is he's always got his head up trying to make a play. That's one thing that drove me nuts about Alex Smith. I've said it before. I love Alex Smith. Good guy. But as soon as he decided to run, it was run. It wasn't, I leave myself the option to pass as I have my eyes up and running. Mahomes does that as well as anybody. And on that play, do you know how many yards Patrick Mahomes actually scrambled to throw a two-yard pass?
Oh, man. I don't. I was going to say like 35 or something.
39.4. Now, this is a geeky statistic. I give you this, okay? Next Gen Stats puts it out there that Patrick Mahomes scrambled 39.4 yards before finding Clyde Edwards-Helaire for a two-yard touchdown Monday night against the Buccaneers. Mahomes has thrown four touchdown passes in his career after scrambling 30 or more yards. No other quarterback has more than one since 2018. Now, how you can look up this information and give me that stat is mind-boggling. But I can tell you one, it comes off the top of my head, and that was the first one I saw, and I was sitting in a bar in Wichita, and that was when he did against the 49ers his first year, where I think he scrambled 83 yards. Now, okay, that's impressive, but I want to know how many yards Kyler Murray scrambled when it took – he literally ran for 20 seconds to run in a touchdown against the Raiders and help beat them in the fourth quarter a few weeks ago. Kyler Murray literally looked like a high school quarterback toying with people, dad with kids in the backyard. Kyler Murray ran for 20 seconds. How many yards did he scramble? 139.4? I mean, I don't think I've seen that. That highlight, if you watch the Kyler Murray run against the Raiders, it starts at the snap. And it does the highlights 21 seconds long, and that's right when he gets in the end zone, which means he kept the play alive for 21 real live seconds. That's insane. And he scored.
Yeah.
So we talk about Mahomes, and what he did was amazing, but that Kyler Murray play is still amazing to me.
Especially because it was near the goal line.
Yes.
It's not like the safeties had to go.
No, there was more guys.
40 yards behind the line of scrimmage. No, they were within 20 yards of him almost the whole time. And yeah, that was a nuts play. That's my bold pick for the MVP right there. That's why.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
At 2-2.
ESPN's got their own power rankings. They've got the Chiefs at 1. Bills at 2. And the Eagles are undefeated. And the only undefeated, they got them at 3. They've got the Packers at 4. The Dolphins at 5, which there you go. See, Dolphins are higher, but still not as high as the Bills. They got the Rams at 6. Vikings at 7, Bucks at 8, Ravens 9, Bengals 10. I think that list is maybe a little better in some cases.
They don't even have the 49ers on
the list. No, they have the 49ers on the list. Yeah, I think that's a little too much on the other. Oh, and hey, this is sad news, man. This just popped up on my feed here. Loretta Lynn passed away.
I just saw that, too.
Loretta Lynn, the Kentucky coal miner's daughter, whose frank songs about life and love as a woman in Appalachia pulled her out of poverty and made her a pillar of country music. Loretta Lynn, coal miner's daughter herself and country queen. She has passed away at the age of 90. Man, complete bummer. Complete bummer to end the show there. But she lived a long and fruitful life. There's no doubt about that. Man. All right. For the latest information for sports in our area, go to ncksports.com. Have a great day.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.